We are back and welcome to the Sweet Spot, brought to you by the Racing Post, sponsored by SBK. And it is majors time, baby. I'm joined by Steve Palmer. Steve, an exciting time ahead. You've been in great form. Looking forward to this one.
Good morning, Dave. Nice to see you. I hope you're well. You must be so disappointed with how the football's going. I really felt for you on Sunday. I mean, VAR ruined another great game of football, didn't it? I mean, you thought you'd snatched a point. And are you angry? You must be an angry man, Dave.
I'm less angry, given the result last night, of course. We're still alive, just about. But yeah, I'm not a happy hammer, let's put it that way.
No, I didn't think you'd be a happy hammer, because there was about a million fouls in that passage of play that was VAR'd, wasn't it? And a lot of West Ham players. Could have had six penalties. So whichever was the first offence, which I would suggest was probably a West Ham player being fouled. Should have been a West Ham penalty. I won't get you started on that, Dave, because I know there's simmering rage there that could ruin the USPGA broadcast.
It could, indeed. Right, talk to us about the enormity. We're going to look back before we look ahead. But a big event this week, of course, Steve. I'm sure you've poured over the field.
Yeah, we love major weeks. Last week was disappointing. Just four impossible to get winners, I'd say. Yeah, not literally impossible, but I'd be staggered if anyone backed any of the winners last week. Yeah, it's a real bookmaker's benefit. We'll hope for a more conventional result in the USPGA. If anyone did back any of the winners last week, put it in the comments section, because I will doff the cap.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah. We'll get on to that. You're, of course, watching us here on the Racing Post YouTube channel. Do remember to like, comment and subscribe. And as Steve said, we want to hear from you. Steve will give you a good steer. If you're making your own picks, let us know what they are, who you're backing, who you have backed. And of course, there's specials coming out your ear holes as well this week. So it doesn't have to just be the outright market. Let us know what you fancy. Players to miss the cut, make the cut, all sorts of specials out there. So make sure you get involved with us here on The Sweet Spot. We want to hear from you. Get involved with SBK as well, our sponsors. They're, of course, the official betting partner of the DP World Tour. The perfect home for all your golf bets this season. There are boosts every week, specials. Keep your eyes peeled on the website. But there is a free bet concession for new customers. Get £60 in free bets when you place your first £20 bet. Place those £20 bet, get the free bet in addition to the welcome offer, which is £40, and you get two free £10 golf bets on top of that, which will be, of course, given to you once the qualifying bet has been settled. All the terms, conditions and the information is on the SBK website, so make sure you jump onto there. And of course, 18 plus, gamble aware. Right, Steve has mentioned the minefield that was last week. We'll go in chronological order, because I know you like to do that, Steve. We're going to start with the Catalunya Championship. And just the 14-shot victory here. It was a tight affair. No danger of a playoff here. 28 under par. Yuvraj Premlal, South Africa, a maiden winner. And he started it off like a train. Four birdies, I think, in the first five holes. It was catch me if you can, and they got absolutely nowhere near him.
Yeah, just an absolutely bonkers result. A 500-1 winner. A victory for the world number 598. But it was the margin of victory that was so staggering. A 14-shot victory. Only Tiger Woods has bettered that in the history of the tour. Tiger had a 15-shot win. 14-shot victory for a player that missed the cut the previous week by 9 shots in the Turkish Airlines Open. So, just no clue. And, the first round was pretty average. Open with a 70, but then 26 under par for the final 54 holes. PlayStation Golf. You might remember, Dave, we tipped him at 400-1 for the 2023 SDC Championship.
Yes, vividly, yeah.
I knew I tipped him somewhere, so I couldn't remember where, so I Googled it yesterday. And, this lad was a prodigy. We wrote in that preview that he was the best amateur in South Africa before turning pro that year. And he made the cut in the SA Open when he was just 15 years old in the 2018 SA Open. So he was good from a young age and looked really promising. But I could have had 100 tips last week on the Catalunya Championship and not had him, because he's never really done anything outside of South Africa.
I was going to say, where's he been then? You've tipped him, flagged him up as a top prospect. Where's he been? What's he been doing?
Yeah, I've tipped him for two events in South Africa a long time ago. But outside of South Africa, he's been like a rabbit in the headlights and hasn't performed until last week. But I think it just showed that the DP World Tour you know, it has that potential for rags winning, doesn't it? Because there's no real superstars on the DP World Tour circuit. Yeah, the favourite last week was a maiden, Angeliora. Yeah, the strength and depth's not there. So I think you could argue that any of the 156 players who teed up last week had a chance of winning because, yeah, the strength and depth's quite thin. But yeah, I was nowhere near having him, I can assure you that.
What about those that were in behind? Norris, Del Rey, Guillemondegay, you know, weren't big names anywhere near the top of the leaderboard. So no. I'd imagine that the pesky bookmakers out there would have been delighted with this result.
Well, we were pleased to get Dan Bradbury. Dan Bradbury finished sixth. I'm sure Wasser Ashurst backed his fellow Yorkshireman there and got place money back. So we had Bradbury finished sixth. And, you know, I like to play the top 12 markets. I know I'm probably in the minority for liking the each way bets with 12 places. But Martin Kuvra tied 10th. So you got a full place return off Kuvra and a full place return off Bradbury if you got enough places. I think Bradbury, again, like his ball striking performance was really good. He is one of the best ball strikers on the DP World Tour. So keep Bradbury on your side. Martin Kuvra, you know I love him. I'm certain he's going to win again pretty soon.
Right, anything else to add? Because we've got four to look back on.
Yeah, no, crack on, Dave, crack on.
Okay, right. We went from the pretty straightforward to find winner of the Catalunya Championship to the even easier winner to find of the Myrtle Beach Classic. 45-year-old Brant Snedeker, a 10th PGA Tour win, first win in nearly 8 years. What were your thoughts on Snedeker going into this event, Steve? Obviously, wasn't on the radar. President's Cup captain, you know, just on the missing list for a while.
Yeah, as soon as they get those roles in Ryder Cup and President's Cup captaincy, they obviously take their eye off the ball as a player.
Yeah.
I assumed Snedeker's career was going in a downward direction. I mean, he'd missed the cut in the previous two editions of the Myrtle Beach Classic. You know, I think I had more chance of getting Premlau than Snedeker because, at least Premlau is 22 years of age and improving. You know, Snedeker, you felt, was going the other way. But just a reminder of how difficult golf betting is. You know, I really fancied myself going into last week. You know, we were going for 4 weeks in a row with a winner, four tournaments. I didn't think I could fail. And then I get Premlal and Snedeker thrown at me. Yeah, all the winners last week were absolutely ridiculous. I really felt for former Sweet Spot presenter Bruce Millington, who was texting me. He almost landed four place quads. Because he I don't know how many combinations he had, but he was doing top 12 as well. You get as many places as you can is my motto. So
yeah,
he's done top 12. So we only had 16 selections in the end last week across four tournaments because William Miao withdrew prior to the tournament. If you backed William Miao last week, make sure you got your place money back. If you backed him in the betting shop, get down the betting shop and get your money back because we had 16 selections. Bradbury and Kuvra finished in the top 12 in the Catalunya Championship. Jose Ballester and Caleb Surat finished in the top 12 in Live Virginia, which we'll come to. Ludwig Aubert finished eighth in the Truist, which we'll come to. But the Myrtle Beach Classic was the one that denied us. Davis Thompson finished 13th, one shot shy. So Bruce almost got four place fourfolds across the line, but ended up with zero. Such a shame. Thompson's putter was to blame. You know, hit the ball really well again. Short game let him down.
Okay, but we're not thinking that Snedeker's going to go on a winning streak now, though, are we?
You know,
he's still a top player. To be honest with you, if you'd asked me how old I thought he was, I would have been a big buyer at 45.
Yeah, he does look a bit older than that. I mean, yeah, there's people joking away about him being a player captain in the President's Cup now. Is he going to, you know, next year, potentially, you're going to have Brent Snedeker and Blades Brown in a Ryder Cup Ryder Cup pairing. Blades Brown turns 19 next week. Clearly brilliant. Finished ninth last week. I was so glad he didn't win. He was very close to being on my team. Maybe you're going to get Brant Snedeker and Blades Brown Ryder Cup pairing next year.
Anything else to add from that one?
No, sir. No, sir. Crack on.
Okay, right. The livers then. Lucas Herbert, maiden LIV title, gaining himself an entry in the US Open. Big check as well to go with it. He scored 24 under par. Then we got Sergio Garcia, 20 under par. DeChambeau, 19. Burmester, 18. Again, another one that would have been difficult to find, Steve. I found a couple of lines on. He was ill before this one kicked off. So ill that he didn't even get a full round of practice in.
No, he was puking up during the tournament as well. I mean, he'd finished 31st and 46th in the two preceding LIV events.
Chance have you got? Yeah, you're going to be drilling down, looking at, you know, what is going on in everyone's lives and everything. I'm sure you would have come across that he was a little bit poorly. So he's going to be one of the first players that you scratch off the list.
Well, and he missed the cut the previous outing on the Asian Tour. Played in the Singapore Open on the Asian Tour. Missed the cut by 3 shots. I thought 40. He was a 40-1 winner. The shortest price winner we had last week. But yeah, no value at 40-1 in my opinion. Course debut. Just no obvious reason to back him. And then 17 under par through 2 rounds. I mean, Prem Lal's scoring over the final 3 days was just unbelievable. I can't even believe it happened. I'm still not sure whether I'm even dreaming. And then Lucas Herbert, 17 under for 2 rounds, coming into the event playing like an idiot. So, yeah, just another stupid result. He's not playing this week in the USPGA, so you don't need to consider him for the USPGA. Bryson DeChambeau, I know you're obsessed with Bryson DeChambeau. Beefy Bryson, he'd be popular this week. Finished 3rd in LIV Virginia. He was 14 under par for the weekend. His form suddenly improved when President Trump arrived at the venue. They were playing at Trump National, Washington, D.C. last week. Trump arrived on Saturday, and then Bryson started playing really, really well.
I'm not entirely sure that's the reason why, but it might be a coincidence, yes.
Look at the footage. You'll absolutely love it. Yeah, Bryson's doffing his cap really, really dramatically. And he did seem to up his game. But Bryson, you're really having a little think about Bryson this week for the USPGA. We were on José Ballester last week, David. I don't know if you were following his progress. He finished 5th on his own, so full place return. I still feel he was the right bet. He opened with a quadruple bogey 7 at the 3rd hole in round 1. So he's gone pin hunting straight away. Hit 2 balls in the water. Opened with a 7. I'm absolutely fuming. And then on Saturday, he shot the lowest round in relation to par in LIV Golf history. He shot 12 under par Saturday 60 to go racing up the leaderboard. So at least we got the place money. What a player José Ballester is.
How old is he, Steve?
He's early 20s. He's the one that famously urinated in Rays Creek and disgraced himself in the Masters. But, he's going to make headlines for the right reasons now. And then the last one I suggest before we kick on is Thomas Dietrich, because Thomas Dietrich finished 6th last week, playing fantastic, ended up in a playoff. The team event went to a playoff last week between 4 aces and fireballs. Dustin Johnson said he was too tired to go out and play. So he sent Thomas Dietrich and Anthony Kim out for their team. You have to send 2 players out. And the 4 aces won. Dietrich's playing really well. Lively outsider. He was 175-1 for the USPGA yesterday. There's been money for him. I can understand it. I've got 6 tips for the USPGA, Dave. If I had 7, Thomas Dietrich would be the 7th tip.
Okay. I don't really care too much for the team aspect of LIV, but it was quite nice that they were all there spraying him with the champers on the 18th.
Yeah. And Anthony Kim, obviously, is always good value. Very sweary in the media conference. He really does go bananas with the swear words in the media conference, which is not big and it's not clever, as I've been trying to tell my son. 4 aces won the team event, but everyone was watching the Truist Championship.
There was. Listen, we're not going to get bogged down in the politics, are we? But there's lots going on with LIV funding. Did I read that John Rahm's going to pay his fines as well?
Yeah, to get back on the DP World Tour. Yeah, so obviously,
abandoned ship, right? That's what's going on.
Yeah. There's a lot going on, but as you say, we can't get bogged down in it. But you must be aware of it because it's affecting a lot of players between the ears, I would suggest. Be wary of the LIV players.
Indeed. Right, Truist then. Christopher Wrighton, 15 under par. I had to check which year it was to see Ricky Fowler up there as well. 13 under par. Nicola Højgaard, Alex Fitzpatrick, what an effort from him. Fleetwood was up there as well, but another maiden winner, this one on the PGA Tour, 28-year-old Norwegian. It was some effort, but I just got to say it was great to see Ricky Fowler back doing his thing on Sunday. He was sort of lighting up the course. And just for a moment, it looked like, he was at least going to force a playoff, perhaps, but it wasn't to be.
Yeah, the bogey at the last was really disappointing. Yeah, Ricky Fowler, form figures of 8-9-2 from the last 3 signature events. Yeah, this is no flash in the pan. Results of 13-8 from the last 2 PGA Tour events staged at Aronimink, where we're playing the USPGA this week. So he's got current form, he's got course form, Fowler fans will definitely be backing him for the USPGA this week. 37 years of age now. Is a massively overdue first major win coming for Ricky Fowler. We shall see. Christopher Reitan, I would suggest, was the probably the most gettable winner of last week. Yeah, I'm not beating myself up about missing any of them last week. I thought it was impossible, but Christopher Reitan, you know, I wanted good drivers on my team. Quail Hollow, a driver's track. I thought power was a big plus last week. He fits that description, but he's making his course debut. He's a PGA Tour rookie. This was a signature event. Yeah, I thought it was too big an event for your first win. I spent ages last week picking between Minwoo Lee and Nikolai Hogarth for the final pick. Went with Minwoo Lee because he's already won a PGA Tour event. I thought it's too big an event for your maiden win. But, Wrighton did it. Hogarth finished second. I wonder whether these signature events are losing some of their prestige. Because there've been so many of them. You know, we've had two in a fortnight. We've had three in a month. You know, it didn't feel like a signature event last week, I would suggest. I don't know how you feel. I think a bit of overexposure to these signature events. Perhaps that's not that pressure cooker that put me off the maidens.
I would agree with that, because I don't really care too much for whether it's a signature event or not. And that's probably a clue in itself, right?
And Christopher Wrighton might have discovered it was a signature event when he checked his bank balance. And I've subsequently found out that his family's absolutely minted. He'd be second only behind Maverick McNealy in the rich family stakes, I'd say.
Oh, what's the back? I don't know.
He's got a billionaire dad. So maybe the $3.6 million winner's check on Sunday wasn't in his head like it would be for other players. I don't know. Christopher Wrighton. Yeah, just a staggeringly quick rise at the world rankings. Yeah, you almost quit golf to become a YouTube golfer not that long ago. And then suddenly he's got on this little run and now he's a PGA Tour champion. Yeah, it's amazing how quickly things can change for a golfer.
Right, we want to get on to this week's action, but a word on Fitzpatrick. Great showing.
Yeah, Alex Fitzpatrick, you must be talking about. Yeah, he finished fourth, 100 to 1. Finished fourth. Yeah, amazing stuff. Fairy tale stuff. One for us in the Indian Open, then wins the Zurich Classic Pairs event with his brother. Now he's contending in PGA Tour signature events. I mean, I always thought he was good enough to match the achievements of his brother. I didn't think there was much between him. And now Matt must be realizing that and thinking, oh, blimey, little brother is catching up with me fast.
I don't think he'd be too worried just yet, but a good showing nonetheless. And a good showing from Tommy Fleetwood as well, Steve.
Yeah, Tommy Fleetwood is getting his act together again. Got a good record on the course they're playing this week. Has to be massively considered.
Right, should we move on then?
Yes, sir.
Okay, right. We are going to tackle the PGA Championship. Do make sure that you jump onto the SBK website. They do have a concession for this. Money back as a free bet if your outright winner bet loses. Terms and conditions apply. There is a max stake rule to that one as well. But do make sure you jump in onto the SBK website, betsbk.com, for all the information there. Right, it is a major. It is the PGA Championship. Before we get into where we are, what is it, Steve? It's not as big as, of course, some of the other majors, but it is still a major nonetheless.
Yeah, I suppose you could say it's the fourth most prestigious tournament of the year. The Open Championship would be number one for me. The Masters would be second, then the US Open. But this is major time. As I told my family this morning when Tommy Tiger's birthday celebrations were going into a fifth day, this is a major week. I've got to go. I'm fully invested, fully excited. I love that full focus. Now, we had four tournaments last week. We got one this week. You know, full focus, full resource can go into this tournament. So, yeah, massively excited, though.
Okay, right. In terms of Racing Post and racingpost.com, obviously previewing the paper on Wednesday, which will be in depth, I'm sure. How are you covering it on the Racing Post website this week?
Yeah, we're starting off with the outright and the tops and the specials. Then we move on to the 72-hole matches, the three balls, first round leader. So Tuesday and Wednesday, the coverage builds. And then when the tournament starts, we'll have coverage after each round. Hopefully, lots of free ball winners in there.
And do tell us, Steve, how can we be the first to know and see your tips and selections this week?
Subscribers Plus. Subscribers Plus get the tips online. 2 p.m. the outright preview on Tuesdays. And then more previews around the 2 p.m. mark on Wednesday. And then the in-running stuff is 11 a.m. Friday, Saturday, Sunday. 11 a.m. is the before each round.
Okay, so there might only be one tournament, but you're going to be a busy boy as ever. And listen, you're in good form.
Very much so. Yeah, very much so. Yeah, we're in good form, Dave. We're in good form.
Yeah, no, I'm just giving you a chance to say, yes, I am.
I don't like to blow my own trumpet.
Well, listen, you beat yourself up when you're not in good form, Steve. So just take a moment.
You blow my trumpet, Dave. You blow my trumpet. I'm not comfortable blowing my trumpet.
Okay, right. I don't believe that for 1 second. But yeah, golf, tipping and betting is hard. And our man is in good form. So yeah, pin your ears back and get ready because we're going to tackle the PGA Championship. Where are we then, Steve, in the world for this one?
Aronimink Golf Club, Newtown Square, Pennsylvania, 7,394 yards, par 70, only two par fives, a Donald Ross design. Jill Hance led a renovation in 2018. There are three pieces of PGA Tour course form for punters to digest: the AT&T National in 2010 and 2011, the BMW Championship in 2018. Keegan Bradley won the 2018 BMW with a 20 under par total. I think scoring will be low for this PGA. Wide fairways, relatively short rough, Dave. The weather in Pennsylvania over the last few months has been cold and dry, so the rough hasn't been able to grow like they wanted it to. The greens are the only defence of this track, I'd say. Loads of slope in the greens. The PGA Tour of America will tuck the pin positions away. There's a bit of breeze forecast for the first 2 days, so I think scoring will be kept in check for the first 36 holes. But over the weekend, it's calmer, it's warmer. I think the Bomb and Gouge merchants will make merry over the weekend. A field of 156 going to post. Place your bets by noon Thursday, UK time.
Okay, right. So fireworks over the weekend then. Raining birdies. Right, I've read up on this one, Steve, going round and round in circles. Do I want to send it? Do I want to be, you know, accurate into the green? Do I need to be a good scrambler? Average of 10 bunkers per hole here, but also if you can send it, you can fly a lot of that trouble as well. So what sort of player are we looking for?
I think that's the key point. The long drivers will go over the trouble. I've analysed this course till the cows come home. They can cut the dog legs as well. There's a few little dog legs, but the bombers are just going to go straight over it. I think long straight driving is really important this week. It's been soft in the build-up. The rough is not that penal. So, yeah, I think the Bomb and Gouge merchants are the ones to concentrate on. Certainly powerhouse. I think power is of massive importance. You look at the scorecard and think, this is not a long course by, you know, major standards, but it does set up to be very advantageous to long drivers, I feel.
Okay. Would President Trump be making an appearance? Because, we're going to be rooting for Beefy Bryson.
He's been watching a lot of golf lately, hasn't he? But he only seems to turn up at the Trump National tournaments, the Trump National courses. So, no, I think it's unlikely.
Okay, well, it is a patriotic event. The last 10 winners have all been American. Winners, Scheffler, Chauvelet, Brooks Koepka in 2023 was winning it for a third time. 2022, Justin Thomas, who was winning it for a second time. Mickelson in 21, winning it for a second time. And Morikawa in 2020, which was the COVID one, Steve, right? Which we've spoken about a lot in the past. Different event. That one. Yeah. McIlroy winner, 2012-2014. How many selections then? Six, did you say?
We've got six selections, none of the top four in the bet. And you've got four players really short this week. Yeah, we've got lots of juicy prices in our six-pronged attack.
I like it. Right, we'll get on to all the big dogs then. Of course, our favourite, Scotty Scheffler, winless in 5 months. Perhaps he's gone at the game. Who knows? Right, Steve Palmer, who is the main pick this week then?
Ludvig Aubert! The time has come for a first major title for Ludvig Noah Aubert, a 26-year-old who has been getting some ludicrous flack lately for a lack of wins. Yeah, this is a man who won on the DP World Tour almost immediately after turning professional, the 2023 European Masters. 2 months later, he made his PGA Tour breakthrough with back-to-back weekend rounds of 61 in the RSM Classic. He won a PGA Tour signature event at Torrey Pines last year. He's already been on two winning Ryder Cup teams. He's already twice contended for the Masters. You know, what do people want from their golfers these days, Dave? I cannot believe the amount of flack he's been getting. These were amazing achievements for a young man to have in his locker. But because he hit a couple of balls in the water at Sawgrass on the Sunday of the Players' Championship, he's gone at the game, supposedly. Utter madness to doubt Ludvig Aubert. He's been hitting his ball with relentless consistency over the last 3 months. The early part of the year was impacted by illness, but since the Genesis Invitational at the end of February, he's moved through the gears. 20th at Riviera, 3rd at Bay Hill, 5th at Sawgrass, 5th in the Texas Open, 21st at Augusta, 4th at the Heritage. I put my teeth back in. 8th in the Truist Championship last week. Don't forget, sensibly skip the Cadillac Championship to give himself a breather. He's been such a hectic schedule lately, isn't it? Signature events coming out of our ears. A lot of tired golfers turning up this week at Ronnemink, I'd say. You know, some players have contended for signature events 2 weeks running. How much have they got left in the tank? Aubert, skip the Cadillac. Cruise to a final round 66 at Quail Hollow on Sunday. Only three players in that elite 72-man field outscored Aubert in the final round of the Truist. He was 9th for strokes gained off the tee, 3rd for strokes gained on approach, 53rd for putting, and finished 8th. So any warming of the putter in Pennsylvania this week, he should go close to major glory because his swing is in mint condition. The course suits, playing soft, rough not particularly penal. I think it's there to be overwhelmed by long drivers. Aubert, the pick of the bunch. I'll give you one stat before I shut up. 23 of the last 40 USPGA champions were breaking their major duck. I think it's a good tournament for first-time major winners. I think that statistic will be bolstered on Sunday.
We love Ludwig. We love Ludwig. Listen, it was remiss of me not to give a show, actually, before I got your main selection. Scottie Scheffler, around about 4-1, 9-2. McIlroy, an 8th chance. Cameron Young, as big as 12s. John Rahm, as big as 16s. Anders Schauffele, 18, and then your man, Ludwig. The stars are out at the PGA Championship, as we'd expect for a major. And Steve is going with Ludwig to break his maiden duck. Here's your main pick. Who's the next best?
Brooks Koepka, who, like Aubert, hitting his ball with huge authority. Brooks full of cheer at Myrtle Beach last week. Yeah, he's a happy chappy. He's as healthy as he's ever been. He's as happy as he's ever been. He's thrilled with the quality of his ball striking. He says for the first time in ages, he's getting excited when he turns up at a golf course because his swing is in such great shape. And this is backed up by the stats. He didn't play well in the Zurich Classic Pairs event with Shane Lowry, but on his own, as an individual, he's been looking superb. 9th place in the Cognizant Classic, 13th at Sawgrass, 12th in the Masters, 11th at Myrtle Beach last week. He was 2nd for strokes gained off the tee at Myrtle, 5th for strokes gained on approach, 62nd for putting. It's been a similar story all season for Brooks. He's 1st on the PGA Tour for strokes gained on approach. Now he's got that driving sorted. He had a few weeks where the driver wasn't working. He's got that fixed. So all we need, like with Aubert, all we need is a warming of the putter. He's been testing new putters at Ronnemink this week. All it needs is a new putter to click with him. Christopher Wrighton put a new putter in the bag last week in the Truist, fell in love with it, hole in everything. You know, it could be the same story for Brooks Koepka. If he gets a putter that he likes, it doesn't take long for putting form to come out of nowhere. So I think Koepka will go close to a 4th USPGA Championship title. He's won this tournament 3 times already. Yeah, he's going for a 6th major title this week. He's already won 2 majors in New York. And Pennsylvania is just south of New York. So he likes this part of the world. He was 9 under par for the weekend of the 2018 BMW Championship at Ronnemink, finished 19th in that. And his last tournament victory, the 2024 Live Greenbrier. So that's in West Virginia. That's another state that borders Pennsylvania. So yeah, Koepka likes this part of the world. I love the way he's hitting it. Just the same as Aubert, just need a warming of the flat stick.
Yeah, I like that one, Steve. Certainly got the pedigree for it. And he'd be a player that, should he be up there on Sunday, certainly wouldn't be afraid of the winning line, would he?
Well, this is it. Rory McIlroy's got 6 majors now. Koepka wants to match him. Yeah, there's a nice little duel between the two of them. And I think it could run and run.
Okay, right, yeah. Decent. Be back to winning ways for Brooks Koepka. Right, that is the front two. Still got 4 more selections to come. And they're obviously all going to be bigger prices. So who is number 3?
Yeah, they get bigger as we go. Chris Gotterup, a 4-time PGA Tour champion at the age of 26. He was born in Maryland, which is a state just south of Pennsylvania. He grew up in New Jersey, which is just east of Pennsylvania. He was a college star in New Jersey, so this will feel like a bit of a home game for Gotterup. He'll fancy his chances of making a serious impact. He's already shown he can handle majors. 23rd in the US Open last year, 3rd on his Open Championship debut last summer, 24th on his Masters debut in April. This is a special talent, Dave, still being underrated in the betting for my money. He won the Sony Open in January, won the Phoenix Open in February, 65-69 at the weekend in the Truist, shot up to 14th place. Some great approach play in that, some great putting in that weekend. You know, driving is his traditional strength, so I fancy he was going to put it all together this week and threaten a major breakthrough.
Definitely. That I do like that one, and that is one to just get as many places as possible.
Yeah, good old Chris Gotterup. You know, 4 wins at the age of 26. That's big time.
Yeah, some big prices out there. Not for 50 to 1 in places. So we like Chris Gotterup. Right, that is 3 more to come, and they're getting bigger. So I'm getting excited. Who's number 4?
I like exciting you, Dave. Sam Burns, who contended for the Masters last month, finished 7th at Augusta. He's finished 9th and 7th in the last two US Opens. He was 19th in last year's USPGA. With a 30th birthday looming large, he started becoming a serious major contender. He's a 5-time PGA Tour champion. His iron play let him down over the first 3 rounds of the Truist last week. On the Sunday, absolutely dialed in. Closed with a 64. Top for greens in regulation that day. 4th for strokes gained on approach that day. 6th for putting. He was 4 under par for his final 5 holes, the most difficult stretch on the course those last 3. Yeah, that Sunday, such a timely injection of confidence for a player who I think is probably good enough to win majors. Don't forget, this is a former world number 9. I think you should be chancing him at those odds.
Yeah, he's a big price as well. Big, big price. Right, who else? Let's rattle through them.
Harris English, who spent the last 6 years threatening to become a major champion. He's like an older version of Burns, another 5-time PGA Tour winner. Won the Farmers Insurance Open last year, you might remember, Torrey Pines. 4th in the 2020 US Open at Windfoot. Windfoot, there are similarities between Windfoot and Aronimink. He was 3rd in the 2021 US Open, 8th in the 2023 US Open. Last year started excelling in other majors, 12th in the Masters, 2nd in the USPGA, 2nd in the Open. This is a 36-year-old becoming increasingly confident in major arenas. This season, steady. 4th place in the Heritage last month has been the highlight. He was 24th in the Truist on Sunday. He signed off with birdies at 17 and 18, like Burns. Finished with an absolute aplomb. 17 and 18, probably the 2 hardest holes on the course. Birdie on both of them. And Harris English is going back to the part of America where it all started for him. He won on the Corn Ferry Tour in 2011 in Ohio. Which is a neighbouring state of Pennsylvania, when he was still an amateur. So fond memories of this part of the world. Harris English, massive prize.
Okay, next up.
The finale. Mighty Michael Thorbjørnsen. An enormous price this week, Dave. An enormous price. I know you were getting frustrated when he was going off at shorter prices in full series events. Yeah, those full series events, we were following him for a spell. But he's going off at a massive price this week. He's the pick of the outsiders. He was born in Ohio, which borders Pennsylvania. He won the 2018 US Junior Amateur in New Jersey, which borders Pennsylvania. He was 41st on his USPGA debut last year. Seems only a matter of time before he makes a PGA Tour breakthrough. I mean, he's already finished in the top 4 on the PGA Tour 6 times. You know, it's not like I've been promoting a player who's done nothing since. I mean, he's only been a professional since June 2024. So, you know, not even 2 years as a professional, Dave. He's been in and out of your bin like a yo-yo. I mean, he's never been in my bin. He nearly won the Phoenix Open in February. He's got the driving ability to overwhelm Aronimink, a 24-year-old with a massive future, fresher than most, didn't get in the Truist last week. So, I narrowly prefer him to Thomas Dietrich. I spent ages mulling over Thorbjørnsen or Dietrich, but I've gone with Thorbjørnsen. As you say, the last 10 USPGA winners have been American.
Yeah, when you gave the stat about maiden major winners have got a good record, obviously, in this event, I wondered about just maiden event winners anyway. And I mean, if you're going to win one, it's going to be some time to do it in a major. And
yeah,
Mighty Michael Thorbjornsson, it'd be I'll be framing the bin or putting my bin on the wall if he was to get the job done.
Yeah. Give him one last chance. Give him one last chance. It's not going to cost you much to back him this week.
No.
150-1. Yeah, five of my six tips are American. I think that will be bolstered. I think we'll have 11 American winners of the USPGA in a row, unless Ludwig Aubert, my number one tip, does the business.
Yeah, he's a big price, isn't he? Oh, you've talked me into it, Steve. Just get the places, get as many places as possible. but this, you know, he's got the game, right? We're talking about flying the treble, and he can send it.
Yeah, he's one of the best drivers in the world. And these greens are going to test him. Yeah, the green complexes are really, really difficult. But I think even the best putters are going to be struggling to old putts on these curly, whirly greens. So it could work out well for him.
Hey, listen, people love the Thorbjornsson chat, the torment that comes with it as well. The number of people that sort of see me and get onto golf and then just go straight to Thorbjornsson. Is he still in the bin or whatever? So actually, I'll give a shout out to an avid viewer of the Sweet Spot, Matthew Stevens, professional snooker player. I saw him at the Crucible last week. I was working on the World Seniors, and he came up to me and said he loves watching, loves following
fantastic.
You in, Steve. So, brilliant.
And he's still got a silky Q action. He used to be one of the...
Yeah, he's 12C. He was watching him in the practice room. Very, very classy. And John Parrott as well says hello to you.
Yeah, I love John. I love John. Yeah, he came down to Weymouth for doing an exhibition once. And I've had breakfast with John at the Crucible as well in Sheffield. Yeah, he's a top man. He's a big horse man, isn't he?
He is. He likes horses,
No, good stuff, Dave. Yeah, no, hopefully they're all back these tips. We've got six tips, but most of them are massive prices, isn't they? So certainly Matthew and John can afford a few little each-way tickles there.
Definitely. Right, let's get on to the big dogs then in the market. We'll start with the chef. I mentioned he's not won an event for 5 months, I think I read, which seems absolutely bonkers. He was winning every other week at some point. Where are you at with Scotty Scheffler?
Well, his form figures are 2-2-2. You know, just boiling over with frustration. He just keeps finishing second, but not quite at it with his irons, I'd say. Not quite at it with his long irons and his wedges. Seems to be still hitting his mid irons well, but lots of sloppy shots elsewhere. 42nd for strokes gained on approach this season. Obviously, he's topped that stat since the old King died. So 42nd is a real slump in approach play form. His putting was pretty ropey last time out, you might remember. So he's not for me at the odds, but it must be said at this stage of last season, he had only won once going into the USPGA. He'd only won the Byron Nelson, a low grade event in 2025 before going to the USPGA, and then obviously dominated the USPGA. Same story this year, only one low grade title, the American Express. So, this tournament was a real springboard for Scheffler last year. Won it by half the track, and then went on to win six times, including two majors. So, it could be a similar story. This might be where he finds it and kicks on, but I'm not prepared to take the risk at those odds.
No. Me neither. What about Rory? Who, as I mentioned, is around about 8-1.
Yeah, fresher than most. Skip the Heritage, skip the Cadillac. Got the rust out of his system last week. I think scheduling very important at the moment because, as I say, there's been so many of these signature events. He was rusty last week. He was absolutely terrible in round three, but much better on Sunday. 19th place at Quail Hollow, though, is a failure for Rory McIlroy. Yeah, Quail Hollow is a playground for him. He usually excels at that course. He had a foot blister, which was bothering him at the weekend. He was limping a bit at the weekend. I think he's a fair price. More tempted by McIlroy than I am Scheffler. I think he'll love the course setup. He finished fifth in the BMW Championship there in 2018. So I was close to putting him up for this. Two-time USPGA champion, but I prefer Aubert at the at bigger odds.
What about your mate Cameron Young, who's probably the form walks coming into this?
Fascinating conundrum, Cameron Young. He looked so sluggish on Sunday. His putting stroke suddenly deserted him. He had a four putt on the second hole, Dave. Did you see that? Yeah, he four putted from 14 feet on the second hole.
Well, listen, we've all done that. I won't hold that against him.
No, we've all done that. But I mean, the putter at the Cadillac was just unbelievably good. I mean, I just think the schedule's catching up with Cameron Young.
Yeah.
Yeah, that tournament was there to be won on Sunday. He was on the leaderboard, surrounded by PGA Tour maidens. He should have won that golf tournament from there, but he had nothing left in the tank. He made only one birdie on Sunday. He closed with a 3-over par 74. So remember, it was a wire-to-wire victory in the Cadillac Championship the week before last. Then contended last week. I think he should have had last week off. And I feel much better about it.
It'd be on your radar. If he hadn't played last week, it'd be on your radar, wouldn't he?
Very much so, yeah. Yeah, I think it was a poor scheduling decision, chasing the signature event bucks. But that Sunday round really off-putting for me.
John Rahm,
yeah, we mentioned the golf in politics. We don't want to get bogged down in it, but there's a weight on his shoulders at the moment. You know, he had this wrangling with the DP World Tour, and all of a sudden he's decided, oh, yeah, I'll pay up, I'll come and play. I wonder why he suddenly made that decision. I mean, it's pretty obvious that since Pith withdrew the funding, now he's panicking a bit. He's going to have to get the best lawyers in the world involved if he wants to get out of that LIV contract. If LIV rumbles on and it's just a really low grade product, is he going to get stuck on the LIV circuit in the prime of his career? I mean, just there must be so much going on in the head of John Rahm. It's not going to be helped by the media conference. The reporters would be absolutely gagging to get at him. You know, Rory McIlroy stoked it all up a bit last week with some very barbed comments towards the players that joined LIV. I just think John Rahm really uncomfortable at the moment. Sold his soul to the devil. Now he wants his soul back, probably. Flopped in the Masters last week. Don't forget how tailed off he got in the Masters almost immediately. I just don't think there's enough in the price to... I don't think the price factors in how much is going on between the ears of John Rahm.
What about your man, Xander Schauffele? You love him.
Oh,
you've
my
not gone
God.
With him. Was he ever sort of on the radar this week?
Such a bad return to competition last week. Yeah, staggeringly bad. Yeah, the first round was decent enough. He was still in it after round one, but that was thanks to a hot putter. And from there, nothing but the driver was working. The final three rounds, nothing but the driver was working. 73, 72. 72, 60th place at Quail Hollow, a course where he's played really well in the past. I thought he was coming to the ball nicely. Yeah, from Sawgrass through Heritage, his ball striking was really encouraging. Just needed the putter to warm up. But last week, just a real wind out of the sails job at Quail Hollow, I'd say. Yeah, it's a massive setback last week. This short game slump he's in with both chipping and putting. His chipping's been pretty bad as well. It's really worrying for Schauffele fans. I couldn't believe what I saw last week.
Right, one other player I wanted to ask you about. I'm staring at the 25-1 about Beefy Bryson. I can't resist it, Steve. I just can't.
Yeah. I can understand the temptation. You know, lively at the weekend, showing off for President Trump. Should take a shine to this course, I'd say. But misses cutting the Masters.
Just keep sending it. Get it out there. And the rest will take care of itself.
But did you feel the same coming into the Masters? I mean, he spectacularly flopped at the Masters and missed the cut. Been struggling for full fitness lately. He's had neck and shoulder issues. And, you know, just as much of a mental load this week as John Rahm. So, I just don't trust him enough to pull the trigger at those odds. But, yeah, I can understand the temptation, Dave.
Yeah, listen, because it could have easily been half the price he is, but he's not. He's 25-1. So that is what is reeling me in a little bit. Was there anyone who was close to being on the list but didn't make the cut?
Well, I mean, we must mention Matt Fitzpatrick. Obviously, his brother's getting all the attention, but Matt Fitzpatrick is the major champion. He cracked his driver last week, Dave. Didn't have time to bed in a new one on the range, so his driving was terrible.
That's not ideal, yeah.
No. So I guess he's been working on that this week, and he expect better with the driver, but his putting was terrible at Quail Hollow. Tied 52nd, probably panicking that his brother's going to overtake him in the world ranking soon.
Well, you insinuated that he doesn't even like his brother before they teamed up as well.
I did not insinuate that. I was just suggesting that he's focused on his schedule, his individual schedule in Elite. Yeah, I'm glad it all worked out in the end. But it's important to note that Fitzpatrick has missed the cut in five of the last nine USPGAs. He hasn't got a very good USPGA record, really. So he's not for me at the odds. I think Tommy Fleetwood, if you're a patriotic man, want to back an Englishman. Tommy Fleetwood is the most tempting of the English for me by a long way. Carded a pair of 62s at Ronnie Mink in that 2018 BMW Championship. Friday and Saturday, a 62. So loves the course. He tied eighth that week. It's very, very tempting, Tommy Fleetwood.
Yeah, you mentioned he's got a pretty grim record in this event as it moves around a Nomanic event. What do you think is the sort of identity of this event, Steve? Is it just one that, you know, when they're looking for a course and setting it up, what are they just setting it up for, bombers and low scores?
Yeah, I mean, McIlroy's record in it's fantastic. It normally sets up really well for McIlroy. Yeah. This course is not your typical USPGA venue. I mean, in terms of identity, it used to be Glory's last shot, didn't it, when it was the final major of the set. Yeah. Glory's second shot hasn't got quite the same ring to it. But obviously the least prestigious of the four, I'd say. But it doesn't affect our passion as punters. I mean, I had a short list of 12 for quite a long time, and I got it down to 6. I've mentioned Thomas Dietrich as an outsider that would break my heart if he won. Tommy Fleetwood, very tempting. Ricky Fowler, as you say, I just wonder whether it. I think Ricky Fowler has set up a winning chance, but I wouldn't fancy him to convert it.
No.
Nikolai Hoggar is a player I love. And but again, he's let a couple of chances slip. He's still a PGA Tour maiden. Minwoo Lee, a powerhouse who can fly all those bunkers, amazing driver, and has got the short game skills to handle these green complexes. I'd say Minwoo Lee and Thomas Dietrich are the closest to making the staking plan, but haven't. And I respect Rory McIlroy. That if
you can't have them all,
you can't have them all, mate. You can't have them all.
What else is going on, Steve? Darts? Is there anything we can get stuck into at the minute?
There are a couple of players' championships going on this week, but I'm far too busy to have a look at them.
You're not checking the scores as we record, are you?
No. The draw's out at about 11:30 a.m. But don't worry. I'm fully focused on the USPGA. Hopefully Josh Rock stays bottom of the Premier League. But I've got some tops and specials for you.
For this show?
For the USPGA Championship. Yeah.
Excellent.
We love our sweet spotters. And if we've got prices available, the only time we ever deny the sweet spotters, we love the sweet spotters. The only time we ever deny them really is when the prices are not out in time, because we record at 10 a.m. on Tuesdays. And they've missed senior major winners. They've missed LPGA major winners. They've gone to the subscribers plus. But we're not deliberately denying our beloved sweet spotters. It's just we haven't got the prices in time. But we have got some prices for the top specials. And I mean,
right, give them to me. What we got?
I mean, I say we've got prices. I mean, the bookmakers have really let me down on my main fancy, which is Thomas Dietrich for top live player. Because I do think the pressure is going to get to Jon Rahm and Bryson DeChambeau. I think they've got too much on their plate mentally. I think the media conferences they'll come out with black eyes.
There's not going to be a spotlight on Thomas Dietrich, is there, as a live player?
No. Thomas Dietrich can glide into it. I watched the media conference of the winning four aces team. He was on the winning four aces, and he's relaxed. He says he just treats majors like any other tournament. He feels a lot of other players get too worked up. And I really like the way he was talking about it. I think he must have a good sports psychologist. I think Thomas Dietrich could make a big impact in this. But I prefer him for top live player rather than outright. But the bookmakers, unfortunately, have got themselves in a bit of a pickle. The first firm that was up with the top live player did not include him in the list. It shows the state of the bookmaking industry in many respects. Other firms have copied. You've got four firms out who have not come up with prices, accurate prices. But once they realise their blunder, we're not talking about SBK here, by the way, I might add. SBK are not part of this, and our sponsors have not made any mistakes. But So basically, by the time this is broadcast at 5 p.m. Tuesday, we record at 10 a.m. and it comes out 5 p.m. Tuesday. I'd like to think Thomas Dietrich is going to be in the top live betting, Dave, and anything double figures is worth taking, I would suggest, because he's in great nick. Obviously, a former Phoenix Open champion. Proved himself on the PGA Tour just before he left the PGA Tour, which was quite tragic. I think Thomas Dietrich and Wacom Neiman are the two to concentrate on in that market.
All good. The dreaded copy and paste. Do you used to see some fun with that in the Ground Derby? Obviously, people would request prices and dogs would just be priced up after winning any race.
Yeah.
And one firm, who I won't name, used to have plenty of fun. Obviously, cottoned on that, people were just copying and pasting. They just lifted to the virtual dogs. So you had Sausage John priced up to win the Ground Derby, and yeah. and Cremin's Post, of course, named after Jim Cremin, both priced up to win the Ground Derby, which was quite interesting. But yeah,
no, it's a sad state of affairs.
Exactly what you're saying. I agree.
One of these firms has got Bernd Wiesberger in the top Liv market, but he hasn't been a Liv player for donkey's years now. So get Thomas Dietrich in there, guys, and offer us a nice juicy price to make up for your incompetence.
Right, any other specials, Steve? Winning score? What about that? You got any thoughts on the winning score?
Winning score, yeah, wind dependent. I think it's some breeze over the first 2 days. I think, definitely double figures under par. I reckon about 15 under par will be winning this. Rory McIlroy for top GB&I was the other one I wanted to point out.
What sort of price?
21 to 10, I've seen. I think that market's between McIlroy and Fleetwood. It's not very exciting bet this, but I think there's a lot of chaff in that market, and I think it's between McIlroy and Fleetwood. You could back Fleetwood for top Englishman and McIlroy for top GB&I, and you'd probably get two winners, I suspect. But those are ones to keep an eye on. And then Wacom Neiman for top South American was the other short price one I liked. He's a really solid favourite for top South American. That is a really weak section. If you can get odds against Wacom Neiman top South American, I think it's a great bet. If you want an exotic one, Dave, I know you like your exotic ones. There's 400 to 1 floating about Ludwig Aubert and Brooks Koepka. Dual forecast. Yeah, I love an outright dual forecast.
It's hard enough finding the winner.
Wow, it's been pretty easy lately, mate. We've
almost had
4 winners in a row. So I think go for 400 to 1 Aubert and Koepka outright dual forecast.
And the tricast with Bjørn Bjornsson, yeah?
Yeah. They haven't opened a tricast market yet, but they should do, yeah. They're not just incompetent, they're lazy. But I must stress, I'm not talking about our sponsors here. It's other bloke.
Listen, I'm all for bashing those pesky bookmakers. So hopefully you can do so with finding a few winners along the way. So do make sure you keep your eyes peeled on the Racing Post website. Sign up, Racing Post Plus, and you'll get all of Steve's Golf Wires extra throughout the week, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Right, that is a wrap. Steve, the best of luck to you, my good man. It's a major, but I've got all the faith in you. So hopefully Ludwig Aubert can lead the charge as well as the other five. Big, big prices. So get your betting boots on. Each way plays plenty. Do remember to gamble responsibly. Get involved with us here on The Sweet Spot. Jump in the comments below. We want to hear from you. Who are you backing? Have you got your eyes on any specials? As always, a rick or two along the way. Enjoy the golf, and we'll see you next time. Thank you.